This is Digital Story Podcast number 828, February 1st, 2022. Today's theme is some excitement about the CP Plus show. I'm Derek Story. CP Plus begins on February 22nd in Yokohama, Japan. Typically, this is a terrific trade show for Japanese photo gear manufacturers. But this year, there's an additional layer of excitement because of the possible announcements that may be timed in concert with the event. We will gaze into our crystal ball this week and hope for news that many of us have been waiting for. I hope you enjoy the show. So it's interesting, we haven't talked about trade shows for a while, have we? And I did not cover this year the CES show in Las Vegas. There were some interesting things. I did follow it loosely, but there was no way I was going to go to that show. And there weren't any announcements from manufacturers that I know that piqued my interest. So it just kind of went by. However, CP Plus, which is, I think, the biggest photography show in Japan, a little bit different. And I haven't talked about it a whole lot in the past, although there have been some good announcements there. But this year, I'm going to go over some of the folks that are showing there, and then I'm going to talk about some of the possibilities that we might hear. Now, this is both an online and a physical event this year, so that's kind of cool and sort of interesting. And it starts on February 22nd, I believe. Isn't that what I said earlier? Yeah, February 22nd, and runs for a week. And the thing that I was really focusing on as I've been trying to read the tea leaves here is who is showing in the physical show versus who's just going to be in the virtual event. Because my thinking is that the folks in the virtual event, obviously you're going to have lots of things to talk about and their latest and greatest, but I'm not feeling like there's going to be any really cool hardware announcements from people who are in the virtual event only. Because logic tells me anyway, why would you do that, right? If you're going to introduce, let's say, a new camera, why would you only do that in a virtual event? You're going to want to have those cameras there. You're going to want people to be able to look at it. You're going to want to have, you know, a lot of traffic. You're going to want to have buzz. I mean, who is the press going to cover more? They're going to cover, you know, these virtual events, which are agonizing, by the way. I have tried them with conferences, and they just drive me nuts. Or are they going to be standing there in a booth with all the excitement going on, recording that, you know, doing their spots, taking their pictures? Yeah, they're going to be in the booth. So right away, that list of people who are going to physically be there on the trade show floor tells me something about those particular exhibitors already. So who is going to be there on the floor? Well, it's a pretty good size floor because it's a big show, but here are the companies showing on the physical floor that I'm most interested in. I'm not going to tell you everyone because a lot of them I don't care about. OM Digital Solutions, there and have a big booth. I looked at the exhibitor map. Canon, Sigma, Sony, Tamron, Nikon, Panasonic, and Fujifilm. All right, for folks in our audience, that checks a lot of boxes, right? Between OM Digital Solutions, Fujifilm, you know, those are the two biggies for us. Sony is like right there as well. And then, of course, we have Nikon and Canon shooters as well. And then Panasonic, not only for, you know, their full frame, but obviously for their Micro Four Thirds. All right, so I'm going, okay, this is interesting. Now, I want to read you a little something, and I'm not going to publish this on the site, because whenever I do this, I seem to get in trouble, even though I'm not under NDA with anyone right now. But I still don't want to get in trouble. I could tell you stories. All right. Here's a note from photorumors.com, and this is about OM Digital Solutions and the show that's coming up. And the note says, according to our information, the new camera from Olympus successor company, OM Digital, will be officially presented in February at Japan CB Plus 2022, or even earlier. The new flagship, dubbed the WOW camera by OM Digital Solutions top managers, will be the first under the OM System brand and will also receive a new index. There's also been a big fly in the ointment, according to our data. The price of the novelty will be more than $2,000. And in Russia, about 200,000 rubles, which is unlikely to please fans of the system. Right? So you can tell that was a translation. I was having a hard time just even reading it straight. But we get the gist. So the camera that we have been waiting for from OM Digital has a chance, this is just a rumor, of course, has a chance of being debuted. And the logical time to do that, for me, would be at CP 2022. It kind of fits within the time frame that they've been sort of alluding to. It's a great camera show. It's right there in Japan where they are. I mean, there's just a lot of things that match up. Plus, it will have been over 2 years since they announced the EM1 Mark III. Now, of course, what I'm hoping for at this trade show is the announcement of the EM1 Mark IV. I don't want, you know, the EMX Mark II. It's a cool camera, but that's not what I'm looking for. And I think what a lot of people are looking for is the next generation EM1. I think we're looking for that new Sony sensor that's a little bit bigger, and I believe it's backside illuminated. We're looking for more computational photography inside this camera. Olympus is already a leader in that area. Yeah, we're looking for a wow camera. Now, this is kind of funny, this line here where they talk about the new flagship dubbed the wow camera. I don't know where that came from, but I'm pretty sure that OM Digital is not going to name this the wow camera. I think that's just like, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, wow. I think that's more what's going on here. As I said, this was a crazy translation here. keep your fingers crossed. I'm going to be watching this show very closely, because honestly, I think this is our first best chance to hear this announcement. Now, also in the rumor mill, Fujifilm, may release a new camera as well in the X series. And of course, they just had their 10-year anniversary for the X series. So that could be something as well. And boy, if we got new camera bodies from both OM Digital and Fujifilm later on this month, that would be fantastic. I mean, that would be really exciting. That would start 2022 off on a very nice foot. I'm not really thinking that we're going to see much from Panasonic, especially in Micro Four Thirds. Nikon, you know, they just came out with their flagship camera. So I'm not feeling a lot from them. Tamron may have a lens. Sony, however, is churning up the rumor mill just a little bit. And so I would say I would put a mid-level possibility for them to do something later on this month. Sigma, you never know what they're going to do. And Canon, we know they're coming out with new cameras this year. I don't think they're going to come out this early with something new, though, or at least not anything that would be serious in the mirrorless category. They may come out with something more on the fun side. So we'll have to wait and see right now. So I really have my fingers crossed for OM Digital Solutions and for Fujifilm. I would love to see something from them both. And then I'm curious what might happen with Sony. Those are my three predictions right now. Alrighty, by the end of the month, we'll know if my logic has any merit at all. We'll wait and see. But cross your fingers, if we have a new camera coming from OM Digital Solutions, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get it. I've been saving for it. I have the money in the bank. I just haven't had the camera. How to update your camera's firmware. And this is an article that's on Petapixel, and I have the link to it in the show notes. Now, I'm not talking about this article so much for the folks in our audience. I think most of us have updated our firmware before and have an idea how to do it. But when I was looking at this article, I thought, man, this is very comprehensive. They really went into a lot of detail. And if I were to help someone else in our photography community, or you in your photography community, because you're the person that people are probably going to for help, then I would say, you know what? This article basically answers every question about updating your firmware. And I thought, this is a good reference article. This is an article that maybe you would want to bookmark and just have it. So when someone says, yeah, I don't have any idea how to update my camera's firmware, send them this article and they will be in business. Alrighty. So that's the main reason why I'm covering it. So they go through all the steps, and then they have links to these camera companies here to check the firmware versions that are available for their camera. So they have links to Canon, Nikon, Sony, Fujifilm, Panasonic, they say Olympus here, but it'd be OM Solutions, Leica, and Hasselblad. So it's very much one-stop shopping for anything related to firmware. And it's funny, you know, now not only do I think about firmware for my camera and for my lenses, right? If you have digital lenses, sometimes they need updates too. So I always try to stay on top of that. And for example, some of the firmware updates over the past year for my X100V did stuff like enable the, you know, webcam capability. I mean, no small stuff. Enabled me to use the digital telephoto for RAW files, not just JPEGs. So sometimes these firmware updates have really nice features added to them. So I guess this is actually a two-parter, right? So the first part is a reminder, if you haven't checked your firmware lately, for the camera that you're using, or maybe a camera that you're not using a lot, but when you need it, you really need it, be sure to check your firmware, right? You know, it's funny how fast time goes by. And then suddenly you go, oh, I'm looking at this. Gee, my firmware is like two versions old. I felt like I just did it. But in actuality, you did it like 2.5 years ago, something like that. All right. So there's that as a reminder to us to update our firmware, and then to maybe bookmark this article for folks when you talk about updating your firmware to someone that maybe isn't as experienced as you. You go, here, and here's how to do it. Here's an article that really goes into it. It's a nice little article called How to Update Your Camera's Firmware on Petapixel, and I have the link in the show notes. I want to talk about the Humboldt Redwoods workshop that's coming up in April. It's going to be here before we know it, and the pieces are really coming together for this event. If this workshop hasn't been on your radar in the past, I just want to refresh you a little bit about what we do. We have some of the most beautiful redwood groves in the world right here at our fingertips during this workshop. And it's not only that we're in redwood groves, but we also have the Eel River, which is right outside the back door of where we're staying. So we've got these different environments, and then in some of our locations, the two environments mingle together really nicely. So we'll enter into a redwood grove, you know, walk through the grove a little bit, and then go down to like the banks of the Eel River and have the Eel River and the redwoods there together. And then the other part of this, the photography is great, but the other part of this, and I think this is especially pertinent for now, is that there's something magical about being in these redwood groves, and we're there during the week, so there's not a lot of other people around. and the vibe that's inside these groves. You ask anyone who spent any time in these groves, especially when there weren't a lot of people there, and just how good it feels to be there. At the last workshop, I try not to take a lot of pictures anyway, because I try to stay focused on, you know, what folks need and, you know, if they have any questions, all that. But even with that focus in mind, there were moments when I just found myself standing there or sitting there on a log and just going, this is so nice just to be here right now, just to experience this, even if I didn't come away with any pictures. The time that we spend together is great. We try to eat on location as much as possible, and there are some great spots to do that. Again, very much fun. There are fun places to eat dinner there. It's very much a blue-collar area where you get to experience people who live here. You know what I mean? It's not like this tourist destination where you're seeing a lot of people from all over, which nothing wrong with that. But when we do the workshop and the time of the week that we're there, you're really hanging out with people who live there, who have chosen to live there. And that's very special. And then, of course, we get to hang out with each other. The food is really good. It's just a great workshop all the way around. I've added an extra day onto it, so now it's 4 days instead of 3 days. And we still have a couple seats open. So if this sounds good to you right now, if a photography getaway sounds good to you, you know, you can either drive there if you're on the West Coast, or you can fly into Eureka Airport, which is only about 45 minutes away from our workshop headquarters. We can even, you know, help you get from the airport to the headquarters. It's not a hard workshop to attend at all, and the rewards are really high. So if you're interested, I have a link to this workshop in the show notes, or just go to thenimblephotographer.com. If you feel like you really need to recharge your batteries, not only artistically, but just as a human being, I would consider this workshop. It's really going to be something else. The Fujifilm Instax Mini Evo Hybrid Instant Camera. If you've been waiting to get into instant photography, now might be the time. And I have a link to the camera in the show notes, but I want to talk about it a little bit. So I've been reading reviews about this camera since it first splashed onto the scene in terms of people being able to review it. So the U.S. release is actually today. They start shipping in the U.S. today, but other folks in other places, Japan, have been able to get their hands on it before today. And the thing about this camera is that it's a hybrid camera in more than one way. It has a digital sensor, has an LCD screen, it has a Bluetooth, you know, it has a lot of those things, and it's also an instant camera that uses, you know, the Fujifilm Instax film. And on top of that, you can use it as a printer for your smartphone pictures using the Fujifilm Instax app. So it does a lot of different things in a package that's not very big. It measures basically 5 inches by 3.5 inches by 1.5 inches, and it weighs only 10 ounces. So you have a camera that can take pictures and produce instant images right there on the spot, or something that you can use for your smartphone pictures if you're shooting, especially if you have a smartphone that's taking the kind of shots you really want, you know, like a portrait mode and things like that. You can print those as well. And it also has its own memory, right? So let me read you a little bit about this camera, and then I'll tell you a little bit about why I bought it. I bought it, and it should ship to me today. Let me read you a little marketing copy. This innovative hybrid instant camera features 10 lens effects options and 10 film effect options, and these are Fujifilm film effects, giving you up to 100 different ways to instantly create your own unique 2x3-inch photograph. You can experiment with vivid colors, add softness to the focus, adjust the exposure, alter the white balance, and even select a macro mode when the situation calls for a close-up. And here are some of the features. It combines the convenient digital imaging capture with traditional instant film output. So this really gives you a lot of different combinations to play with. It accepts Instax Mini Instant Film to produce 2.4 by 1.8 inch images on credit card size 3.4 by 2.1 inch sheet. And they're nice little prints. They look good. And the film does not, I just bought a box of 60, I want to say for $35. It's not crazy priced like Polaroid film can be sometimes. It has a fixed 28 millimeter equivalent lens, so you get that wide angle perspective, f2 maximum aperture, and it's a glass lens, so it's well suited for a variety of lighting conditions. The lens also has a 3.9 inch minimum focusing distance for working those close-up shots. It has a built-in rechargeable lithium-ion battery, and you recharge it via USB. Now, it's one of the things that I would have done differently with the camera. It's using a USB mini port instead of a USB-C port. I wish they would have done USB-C on this. At any rate, you can fully charge it in 2 to 3 hours. It also has internal memory that holds approximately 45 still images, and you can put up to a 32 gigabyte micro SD, SDHC memory card in there as well. And I looked that up, and it is, you can go up to 32 gigabytes on that. So that's a lot of images because the sensor isn't that big. All right. It's more like the sensor you would get in our traditional compact cameras back in the day, right? It's not like an APS-C or a Micro Four Thirds sensor. It's, you know, one of the smaller sensors from the traditional compact cameras. Let's talk about the printing. So it has direct print, so you can print pictures from your smartphone saved images. Printed pictures from this camera can then be transferred and saved to your smartphone, so you can go both ways with it using their app. And then it also has a remote control using the app for the camera. So that's kind of nice. So your smartphone can be the remote control, and you can wirelessly release the camera's shutter from the app, do all that. By the way, it also has two shutter buttons, and it has a little mirror on the front so that you can line up the selfie and then have the shutter button right there in front. So taking selfies with this camera, and it's a 28 millimeter lens, so you can get a couple people in the selfie. That should be fun and easy as well. And then it just has some really nice photo things here. Multi-segmented metering, TTL, 256 zones. The ISO is capable from 100 to 1600. Has exposure compensation, -2 to +2. Shutter speeds go from 1/8,000th of a second to 1/4 of a second in auto mode. Has a self timer for both 2 and 10 second delay. Has a rear 3-inch 460,000 dot LCD screen for live view compositions, menu navigation, and print selection. And by the way that you print it, very much in Fujifilm fashion, it has dials on top. And the way that you initiate a print is by using a film advance lever. It has a film advance lever, and when you do that, tells the camera to print the frame. Isn't that really cool? I've been waiting for the right instant film camera for me. I like the look of instant film, but I needed something more versatile if I was going to carry a new piece of equipment around with me. So I'm figuring that this camera with my iPhone 12 Pro Max gives me a lot of functionality. I can print pictures on the spot. I can play with the film effects on the spot. And I can shoot with my iPhone, send those images to this camera, and then print those pictures. And then I can scan those images. I can do all sorts of stuff. So I'm really looking forward. Finally, I feel like this is the instant film camera that I've been waiting for. I should have it this week, sometime this week. I'll do a little mini review of it once I have it. It starts shipping today. It's $199. If you've been waiting, to buy an instant film camera, take a look at this. I think this is one of the cooler cameras I've seen in this particular category. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members. Thank you so much. These are the folks that support our podcast and our community month in and month out. And they also help steer the course for what we do with our activities. Funny thing, mentioning this right after talking about that camera, I wanted to do a workshop on instant film hybrid digital photography. I ran it by the Inner Circle. And they were so funny. They said to me, Derek, I can tell you're really excited about that, and we can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. But we don't think it's a workshop that a lot of people would sign up for. So I just love that because, you know, when I get onto something new, I get very excited about it. And, I want to do a workshop, and I want to, have us all working on this together and all that sort of stuff. But I am learning, thanks to our Inner Circle members, that some things are best as a solo project. So a big thanks to Inner Circle members for helping me stay on the rails. If you want to learn more about becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Nose around, and hopefully you will join us in 2022. I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, longest running sponsor. And talk about printing, right? These guys have basically everything that you would need. I want to tell you a funny thing. It's not funny ha-ha. It's funny, kind of interesting and ironic. So I'm cleaning out one of the rooms right now here at the studio. And it's a room that where kind of everything ended up. So I have this room here where I record and I do my Zoom stuff. And, I have a client meeting room downstairs. And then I have this room that was sort of doing all sorts of things, including camera repair. And it just got too cluttery. And I said, I need to thin this room out. I've been procrastinating on this forever. So one of the things that I'm doing is that I'm going through boxes of prints from over the years. I mean, this is something that I should have done when I moved here, and I didn't do it. I just brought the boxes and I, stacked them in the corner there. So now I'm actually going through the boxes. And it's fascinating to me what prints I'm keeping and what prints I'm letting go of. And the prints I'm letting go of are all these scenic shots that at the time seemed like something that I really needed to take a picture of. However, those shots are still in my brain. I still remember, what all these different areas look like. But the prints of people in my life over the years, I'm hanging on to those. Those are gold. Those are gold. And I'm so glad I have prints of them. Because sometimes a digital version, as we all know, can get buried there in the digital ethers, whereas a print is right there. Suddenly you have it, and I can put these prints in a place where I can, enjoy them easily. So I just thought it was an interesting, exercise for me. Now, my fine artwork and my black and white work and some of the stuff I have in Capture One Pro that I print, yes, I put that on the wall, yes. That stuff that I value as well. But I'm just talking about, the snapshots over the years. And when I go back and look at those as prints, the ones that really jump out at me are the shots of people. So just kind of a twofold thing there. One is the value of prints. I can never underestimate the value of prints. And then double that if it's a print of a person that you care about. Red River Paper, they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Thanks so much, Red River Paper, for sponsoring this community and this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Cross your fingers on CP Plus. Come back next week. I'm working on some great stories. Until then, have a great week. Be creative. Stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.